for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Proverbs 18 and 21. And it simply says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Can you remember the first words your children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews ever spoke? Remember those times? That's their first word, and oh, it's all exciting, it's wonderful and everything. I can't remember the exact very words that our boys used, but I think it was something like this: Daddy, you're truly awesome. And of course, they've been saying that ever since. It's the most wonderful, exciting things when children say their first words. They're speaking now. They're responding now. They're able to communicate. And it opens up a whole new world, doesn't it? Brilliant. Then, of course, you spend the rest of our lives telling them to shush and be quiet. Words can be wonderful things. Creative, healing, encouraging, inspiring, life-giving words. But they can also be destructive and deathly and discouraging. There is the power of death and life in the words that we use. When God spoke, fantastic, He spoke and He created a wonderful world. Wasn't it fantastic when you read it, when you think about it? He just spoke. And it was awesome. What kind of world do we create when we speak? What is the atmosphere that we create when we bring our words into that workplace, into our families, into the conversation? What is it that we are creating through our words? For words are powerful. And words have a creative force all of their own, either for good or for evil. Some of you, even in this place this morning, can remember things, nasty things, horrible things spoken into your life, even as a 5 and 6 year old. And you're no spring chicken today. And you remember those things. You remember that teacher. You remember that person who either spoke incredibly wonderful, life-giving words to you, or they spoke words that sucked the life from you and sucked the hope from you. You remember them. They're still there. That is the power of words. And James talks about the tongue, doesn't he? It's such a small member, such a wee thing, and yet it's set ablaze by hell, James says. And he goes on to say, every beast of the field and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed, but nobody's been able to tame the tongue. Nobody. And Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says this: the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word. The word to sustain the weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Oh, that we would have a heart like that, which is a prophecy of Jesus, is it not? The Lord has given him the tongue of those who are taught, who would speak a word to the weary and lift a burden. Is that your heart as we think about September, as we think about our ongoing life as Christians? That, Lord, please give me words. Words to say that will sustain and encourage and give life. You know, we often say that it has to be more than words. And of course, we understand that. Talk is cheap. We say talk is cheap. But is talk always cheap? Words aren't always cheap. Not if they're spoken with integrity and not if they're spoken with meaning. So no, words are not always cheap. It can cost a lot to say some words. It costs a lot when you truly mean it. And when you say something and you mean that thing, it can cost you. Think about what it costs those who truly forgive from the heart, some deep hurt. That costs, doesn't it? It's not some trite thing that just rolls off the tongue. It costs you something to truly say the words, I forgive you. To say it and to mean it will cost you a lot. And so when we come to the Bible and we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and 1 in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it goes on, and God said, and God said, and as God continued to speak, the universes and every living thing blinked into life by his word. Awesome. The world and all its creative magnificence was formed by the word of his power. And we may think, well, that didn't cost God very much. All he did was speak. And when we are caught up in the wonder of it all, and God just spoke and it came to be, wonderful. We forget. Or maybe we don't realize that it did in fact cost God dearly to speak those words. Not in terms of what it took out of him. He created and sustains it all. And he's not one bit diminished, reduced, or weakened by speaking and creating all of that. You would think, oh, well, God would really need to have a lie down after that. No, he doesn't need to have a lie down. It says that God rested. It just means that he stopped creating. It doesn't mean that he was worn out, that he spoke it. But how did it cost him? It cost him, not in terms of created energy, but it cost God everything. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, it says this about Jesus, that he is the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. We need to understand something, that God's word is creative, it's awesome, it's wonderful. Look at what God did. But in God speaking those very words that created everything, it cost him everything to speak them, because it cost him his son. So even before the world was created, God knew, God saw the sin. God saw you and I lost and broken and hopeless and empty. He saw us. And not only was Jesus the Lamb slain from the creation of the world, it says in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. This is wonderful. It's too high for us, but it's true. Before the creation of the world. before God spoke those words. He had already weighed and understood what the cost would be. And when we come to Jesus and we listen to the words that he spoke, we are delighted. Aren't you delighted when you hear and you read the words of Jesus? When he speaks so incredibly gracious and kind and powerful and tender and life-giving and comforting and creative. No words like the words of Jesus. And those sent to arrest him went back and said, well, we couldn't arrest them. Oh, we were arrested. Not him. They said, we were arrested because nobody spoke like this guy. He speaks with such power and authority. Isn't that funny? The guys sent to arrest Jesus were arrested by the words of Jesus and went back empty-handed. We need to be aware of the cost of those words spoken by Jesus. What are the first words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament? Jesus spoke lots of things, but the first words recorded in the New Testament, the first words that he spoke, Luke 2:49. Joseph and Mary were kind of freaking out a wee bit because they'd lost their boy. And they searched everywhere and they finally found him in the temple. And while he was getting a telling off, he said to them, why did you seek me? These are the first words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. The spoken Word of God became flesh in Christ, tangible, real, living, walking, talking amongst us. And he came to be about the Father's business. What is and was and forever will be the Father's business? What is that? Loving and saving sinners. Hallelujah. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Those words cost him also. How was Jesus to do the Father's business? By speaking the Word of God, by demonstrating the power of the kingdom through miracles and signs and wonders, and ultimately by going to the cross. Everything Jesus said cost him. Costly words are powerful words, aren't they? When you hear a testimony of someone sharing something deeply, and you know it's costing them to say that, it's costing them to share that, they went through the depths, and they've come through the other side, and they're sharing a testimony of God's goodness, and you feel the weight of those words as they come upon you. Heavy, weighty words. Heavy, weighty words are usually costly words. And costly words are powerful words. Costly words are transforming words. Costly words are life-giving words. And the words that Jesus spoke were costly. They were weighty. They were authoritative. They were powerful. Transforming. I love this verse in John 5:25, where Jesus says this, truly, truly, And when Jesus says, truly, truly, you better sit up and take notice, because it's like he's underlining. Because every word that he spoke was truth anyway. And so when the truth himself says, truly, truly, you need to sit up and take notice. Because he says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Wow. Can you imagine the first people that ever heard these words coming from the mouth of Jesus? What does it mean? How does that work? Yes, Jesus raised the dead with a word, Lazarus come out, the widow of Nain's son, and so on. But this is speaking about the spiritually dead. The very words of Jesus have power to raise the spiritually dead. This is wonderful. And if we could catch the prophetic edge of this morning, and as we think and as we plan and as we pray to reach out, and as we begin to believe this word, that the hour is coming and now is here, right now it's here, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he speaks by his Spirit and through his word and through his people, and the dead, those who are as dead as a dodo to the voice of God, those who are uninterested, those that are running from God, those who couldn't give him 2 minutes, they will be arrested. They will be given life through the words of Christ. Jesus said, the hour is coming. It's now here. And all around him, as he spoke and as he preached and as he taught and he's walked in the highways and the byways and he's met with a woman by a well and he spoke words into her life, she was dead. She came alive. She came alive because she was dead, and she was one of those that Jesus was speaking about here, and she heard the voice of the Son of Man. Come see a man, she said. You see, when there's life, it reproduces itself. That's the only way that life can be reproduced, is through life. You can't get life from death. But when there's life in the house of God, when there's life in the people of God, when the word of God dwells in the people of God richly, when there's life being spoken into our hearts through this word, we have it. And life begets life, begets life, begets life. You and I were dead in our sins and our trespasses, dead to God, dead to the life that God meant for us. And you know what? Then God spoke. Does it still thrill you when you think how you got saved? Does it still give you a wee spark, a wee smile, a wee corner grin, even just something, just anything? Oh, Jesus. You ever look at photographs of yourself before you were a Christian? I've got a few, not many, with hair and all the rest of it. But I look at those pictures, and I look into the eyes, and I see deadness. Have you ever looked at photographs of yourself before you were a Christian? Look into your eyes. You'll see deadness. Nothingness, a void, emptiness. And he came. Somebody came to you. Somebody gave you the scriptures, a tract. They shared the faith. They shared the word of God. Maybe you went to a meeting. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were saved in a bus shelter or a building site or a cathedral. It doesn't matter. God's voice knows no boundaries. As I close this morning, I think about this. There's power in the voice of God, even to awaken the dead. Those who just have no interest. They don't want to know about Christ. So what do? Write them off. There was a time that you didn't want to know about Jesus. Probably. A time I didn't want to know about Jesus. But then one day I did. Then one day you did. And then that day turned into another day. And then you began to hear and listen, and your heart began to be softened, and you began to be drawn powerfully by the love and the power and the grace of God. And before you sought God, God was seeking you. And His hand was on your life. And anyway, where was God in those times where it was awful, but it was darkness? He was there. He was preparing you. He was drawing you. He was arranging circumstances and events that would cause you to come to Him. Isn't He gracious? And He's doing that even right now with people in our town and beyond our town. He's touching them and He's awakening them by His Holy Spirit. You know, bargain basement blether will touch nobody. It takes costly words to transform a life. Words spoken by the one who paid the price so that they may be spoken with power and effectiveness. And yes, it'll cost us to open our mouths. It'll cost us. Some will ridicule, some will reject, some will despise. Be prepared and be ready for it. But some will say yes. Some will say, I hear you. Some will want to know more. Some will be arrested by the very words that are life and are spirit. Let's believe. I tried to witness to somebody this week, and it was too late. He came and he dropped off some shopping, engaged him in conversation. I said, great weather, and it was that particular day. And he said, well, yeah, but it looks like the forecast is pretty bad. And I said, oh, no. Let's believe in better. Let's have faith for the weather. He said, yeah, kind of. I said, do you have faith? And he said, yeah, I have faith. I said, all right, tell me. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. I said, what? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the grave? And he said, yeah, I do. I said, hallelujah, so do I. So as I say, it was too late. Somebody got there before me. But somebody hasn't got there before us. For many of the people in our town, in our families, in our region. Folks, let's hear again. In our own spirit, the life-giving word of God for our own hearts to refresh us, to give us life, to give us fresh vitality, life in the Holy Spirit. The word of God would be heard by God's people. Yeah, in new ways, in refreshing ways, in ways that give us life, in ways that we may even raise us from the grave and cause us to be awakened once again to the spiritual realities. He's a good God, that He is speaking, and He has many people in this town who He is calling. Let's be the people who are ready to reap. Amen? Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we bow our heads before You this morning, and we're so grateful, we're thankful. You spoke Your word into our lives. We were the dead who heard Your voice, and now we are alive in Christ. Lord, help us. Help us to demonstrate that life to a dying world. Lord, we thank You for the life that is in us, that is greater than he that is in the world. We are overcomers. So I'm praying this morning, as we are all praying together, we don't have to wait till September. Wake me up when September comes. Lord, help us to be awake to You, even in this moment. Do you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning? Need to dream fresh dreams, see clearer vision? Oh, the Holy Spirit of God wants to come upon us all. Not just for that tingly feeling, but to equip us. Give us boldness, sensitivity. The power of the Spirit upon us. To be witnesses for Christ. Open up your heart in these moments. Ask the Spirit of God to draw near to you, to fill you afresh. And let us rededicate ourselves to be people of the Word, that the Word of God may dwell in us richly, giving us life, and that that life would overflow to those who desperately need it. Lord, freely we have received. Let us be people who freely give. Open our mouths, Lord, and help us to open our mouths, that You may fill it, that we may be people who speak those costly words, but words that have life and transforming power. And Your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.